Welcome to the Mind Body Business Show. The three keys to your success is just moments away. Here's your host, Brian Kelly.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mind Body Business Show. Hey, how you doing? I'm your host, Brian Kelly, and we have an absolute phenomenal guest expert on the show tonight. I cannot wait for you to meet her because she is amazing. She's doing amazing things, changing lives, and making a huge impact on our world. So without further ado, let's jump right in, shall we? The Mind Body Business Show, what is that all about? For those of you that may not know or have not seen the show before, it's all about those three key elements. The mind, that's the mindset, which hopefully we will dig deep into tonight. Hint, hint, wink, wink to my guest expert. That is mindset. And by mindset, what I'm talking about is not just at the conscious level, but also and also at the subconscious level. And one way to tap into that is through a proven, amazing science called NLP, or Neuro-Linguistic Programming. And my guest is an expert at that, as you will find out tonight. And I cannot wait to dig into that deep. And then it's also about the body. What does that mean? Well, it's about taking care of yourself. It's about eating the proper nutrition and getting in the exercise your body wants and deserves so that you can be operating at what I call a level of peak performance. And I like to say it's like this: the mind and body are a team. They're your team, more importantly. And so think about a team that's playing a sport. Basketball is going right now. Let's use that. There are five players on the court. One of those players decided during the off season prior to, I don't need to get in shape. I'll be in good enough shape when the season starts. And doesn't really take care of himself or herself. And then the season starts and they play their first game. All the other four that are playing on the court are at their prime. They're optimal peak performance levels, both mentally and physically. But this one decided, I don't need to do that. Well, he's going to suffer. And as a result, do you think the team as a whole will suffer? Absolutely. No doubt about it. And it's the same thing with you and your mind and body. So if you have mastered mindset at the subconscious level and you have mastered taking care of your body, then you are operating at a peak level of performance. If not, then let's see what there is to work on and let's tackle that. And so we address these topics through these shows each and every week here. And then there's business. And that comes to sales, marketing, team building, systematizing your business. When you combine all three, you have like what I like to refer to as a tripod. You know, you have three legs. Let's say you have a tripod holding up a camera and you take one of those legs and you knock it away. What happens to that camera? What happens to that tripod? It all comes tumbling down, doesn't it? So we need to have all three areas operating at a peak level of performance. And this is what I found over the course of my life are the patterns that kept bubbling to the surface time and time again. Each and every time I would talk to someone who had a success at a level that I desired, these three elements were always key to their reaching, maintaining, and even surpassing their current levels. It's all about mind, body, business. Let's just hit the basics, shall we? I'd like to make it more difficult for you, but this is what we got, right? Very basic. And there was a time several years ago, it's been quite some time now, I was talking to a mentor, and we talk about mentors and coaches on this show a lot, very important. And I was in his corner office, a multimillionaire, big, massive, beautiful office. And at one point, he looked at me. We were having a discussion. He looked at me and says, Brian, if people only knew, if they just did this one thing, if they just did this one thing, they would all become super rich. And then he paused, and I'm like, let's hear it. What is it? Come on, bring it on. Bring it home. And he said, well, it's like this. And he turned away, and he walked back toward his other wall. I'm sitting on his couch, a couch in an office, and he walks toward this large cabinet, double door, floor to ceiling. He goes to the cabinet, grabs both handles, and opens it up, and then looks back at me. And what was inside of that was very similar to what you see behind me. It was shelf after shelf of books after books. They were about business, about marketing, sales, personal development, about mindset, Think and Grow Rich. I mean, everything you can imagine that many of you have already heard of and or read was in that bookshelf. And I remember thinking at that moment, it can't be true. I mean, they're just books. there's no like course, there's no study program, I don't have to take tests, I don't have a mentor holding me. I didn't realize that those books, therein lied many mentors. And I made a mistake at that moment, and I just kind of sloughed it off. I said, nah, that's not going to do it. There's no skin in the game. I can get a book at a library. Why would that result in my getting rich? Then thankfully, many years later, I had another mentor who basically said the same thing. His word was more along the line of success than getting rich. Same connotation, though. So he said, reading, I do it all the time. And one of the differences was with him, not that the other one didn't, but with him I spent much more time with, and I got to see firsthand. He would walk around with his headset on, and I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm listening to a book. I was like, what? You're listening to a book? Wait, tell me how that works. And so he said, yeah, you can do it on this app called Audible. I thought, really? I have to give that a shot. And so I started listening to books and found that I much prefer the auditory sensation. We'll talk about that maybe a little later. Brigitte, who is our guest, who's sitting in the wings right now. And I really retained and absorbed information much better on an auditory level by listening than by reading. In fact, reading, if I look at a book and I open it and my eyes scan the page, even if it's a physical book or Kindle online, I start getting sleepy. It fatigues me just to read. And so listening is very relaxing, and I really absorb the information. And the beautiful thing is with Audible, as you're listening, at any time you want, on the screen, there's a little symbol there, and you can tap it, and it actually stores a bookmark, a location in that audio presentation of the book that you can then go back to anytime you want. And I thought, this is brilliant, because now I don't have to re-listen to an entire 2-3 8-hour book, depending on the size. I can just go back and hit those bookmarks for those highlights. And so what I like to do on every show is play exactly one of those bookmarks on a session I appropriately call, you guessed it, bookmarks.
Bookmarks. Born to read. Bookmarks. Ready. Steady. Read. Bookmarks. Brought to you by ReachYourPeakLibrary.com.
Yes, ReachYourPeakLibrary.com. And by the way, for those of you watching, either live or recording or listening, please stick with us and just take notes. Don't go running off, and we're going to share with you some resources during the course of this evening. And it's important for you to stay with this show, especially when we bring on Brigitte. I cannot wait. And just so you know, it's coming very, very soon. So ReachYourPeakLibrary.com, it's a website I put together as a result of listening to all these books. And by the way, there's the entire story of that gentleman, the CEO in the corner office. I just recorded video and I wrote the whole thing out. I didn't want to go through the whole thing here tonight. But you see, in this list are book after book after book of books that I personally have read. And they're not just books I've read. They've also are books that had an impact on me when I read them. So not every book I read is in this list. Did not make the grade. And there are many, many, there's several in here that are actually my mentors personally that I know, and others that I consider a mentor kind of virtually. Some of them are no longer with us, but some of their teachings have just been long-lasting throughout my life. And so that goes on and on and on. So what we're going to do is select one specific bookmark by a gentleman that I know our guest expert knows all about, and that is Richard Bandler, one of the co-founders of this amazing science called NLP, or neuro-linguistic programming for short. It will do nothing but change your life forever. That's all. And so this is a quick snippet. It's about a minute in length. So go ahead and take out your notepad and your pen if you haven't already, and take notes on this quick snippet from Richard Bandler in Get the Life You Want. Here we go.
Getting on and getting back on exercise. 1. Think of something you want to be motivated and disciplined to do. For example, going on and sticking to a diet. 2. Think of how much you want to be healthy and fit, and develop your ideal body by dieting. Really imagine it in vivid detail until you feel really motivated and determined to go on this diet. Amplify the feeling by spinning it faster. 3. Imagine yourself going on the diet as you spin this feeling. Then imagine yourself falling off it at some point in the future, and spin the feeling faster as you imagine yourself getting straight back on. 4. Imagine being on the diet and falling off, and then bring the feeling of determination back again and spin it as you imagine going straight back on the diet again.
I just love that section because it hits two primary areas, and that's mindset and body. I was like, this is gold. Oh, this is phenomenal. And the thing is, that was one of the techniques used in NLP where they spin the emotion, and it's an amazing, powerful, powerful technique. And I have to tell you, if there's anything you do in your life, all of you listening and watching, is if you've never heard of NLP, if you've never experienced it, then reach out to our guest expert, Brigitte, when this is over, and we'll give you the contact information because it is life-transforming work. I kid you not. And I didn't learn this until roughly 8 years ago. And it literally, and I'm not a dramatic guy, it literally changed my life forever for the better. And I am absolutely blessed to have come across this path. With that, a perfect segue, it is time to bring on the one and only guest expert via our guest expert spotlight.
It's time for the guest expert spotlight. Savvy, skillful, professional, adept, trained, big league, qualified.
And there she is, ladies and gentlemen. It is Brigitte Ufle, and she is on the Mind Body Business Show. Real quick, I want to do a quick introduction, then we'll jump right in and get some great insight and value and questions answered from Brigitte. Brigitte is a German immigrant living the American dream. She is the owner and founder of the Ufle, I'm getting better at that, group, and creator of the four-dimensional communication diamond, that's trademarked. She is known as the fastest-tracked female trainer and retired lead coach of the world's largest self-development company. She was born and raised in Germany and resides in the U.S. with her two wonderfully independent daughters and her husband, the renowned culture guy. Brigitte is an award-winning founder of the German Language School of Cleveland and the Montessori School of Cleveland. Brigitte has always given credit for her success to her unique communication and listening skills, her tenacity, and her never-ending desire to take something from good to outrageously great. I love that line. Today, she is the co-owner of the NLP Center of Atlanta. I hope you're taking notes right now. A certified and licensed trainer as well with Bank Code, phenomenal system, and she has built coaching programs for large international organizations. I'm going to stop there. There's more because I want to bring this wonderful, beautiful lady onto your screen, which she's on there now, but I want to hear her voice. But right before we do, I apologize. One more thing. For those of you watching, be sure to stay on all the way to the end of the live show because at that time, I will reveal how you can enter to win a 5-night vacation stay at a 5-star resort in beautiful Mexico. With that, at last, I want to say, Brigitte, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Thank you so much for having me. Finally, I get to say something. Good Lord, it's hard for me to stay still.
I know, right?
Thank you so much, Brian, for having me on. I've been waiting for this day ever since we talked last to, you know, bring what I can bring to your network, to my network, and make it a bigger network.
Yes, I love it, to spread the word. Now, that yes. The bio I just read was obviously your bio. You wrote it, and it's a very great bio. I love it. What I wanted to do is give the audience a little bit deeper knowledge of you and what makes you tick. So something like, you know, all of us, we wake up in the morning, at least we hope we do every morning, and but then it's time to get out of bed. So what drives you, Brigitte, what is the driving force that literally lifts you up out of the bed with vigor, with energy, and can't wait to take on the day? And then if you don't mind, let us know what you're actually up to these days.
Okay, well, there are many questions in that. So what drives me or what gets me out of bed? Well, there's a great thing called the alarm clock. That really gets me out of bed and I need it. However, I love getting out of bed and there are many, many things that I have going on in the morning. I have two wonderful daughters. They both go to school here in Atlanta. I've homeschooled them. My husband and I have homeschooled them for a number of years. Before that, they went to our Montessori school. And it is what really drives me is to make a difference in, well, first of all, in my own children's lives, in my own life, in my family's life, but really in everyone that I can get in touch with, you know, either physically in touch with or verbally in touch with. I think there's so much out there, and that's why I built my Montessori school when we chose to move from Germany to the United States in 2004. That was my first big desire to really make a difference. I was very successful in corporate America and started, you know, having this idea of building a Montessori school because I hated school. I hated reading. ask my mom. She had the hardest time to get me to read. And now I love reading. I cannot get enough of books, just like you. I need to read all of these books. And I'm a big fan of Blinkist. And I thought, man, if I get Blinkist, which is only summaries, then I'll never read another book fully. But actually, the other thing happened that now I read all the summaries of these books, and now I want to read the entire book, right? So the exact opposite happened. But why do I do what I do? And I'm going to get, can I be just really blunt and vulnerable? That's who I am, and I'm just going to give you the raw Brigida. I grew up with a family that was loving, but yet I heard a lot, what the hell is wrong with you? Mm. And I grew up with, you know, trying to find out what is wrong with me until I figured out, well, wait a minute, there's nothing wrong with me. There's everything right with me. And the children that are growing up hearing what is wrong with you, those are the ones that I really felt for from a very young age on. And I decided to work with children and then also with adults when I was very, very young. And I saw an advertisement on TV when I was a little girl in Germany. When I did my Montessori training, I'm a teacher by trade, a marketing degree and a teaching degree. And I did my Montessori 3-year degree on top of that. I wanted to know more. Montessori is a great methodology for the ones that are listening and don't know what Montessori is. Look it up. I'm not going to go into it right now, but it's a very one-on-one, wonderful learning methodology. And I wish I would have had that. So I decided my children are going to have that. And that's, you know, as an entrepreneur, that's where my entire business idea came from, of having a Montessori school for my children. We now have a very successful business in Cleveland. I have someone else is running it. I own some shares in it. I'm out of the day-to-day operations. It's because I found over the years, as I was coaching parents, because the children are actually really good. It's the adults around the children that kind of screw the children up, right? Mm. The teachers, the parents, because they don't know better, not because they're intentionally trying to harm the children, but they just don't know better. And they have a mindset that might not be supportive to them or to their children. So I worked a lot with parents and coached parents, and that's where the largest self-development company in the world found me, kind of scouted me and, you know, put me on stage. And that's where I am today, because I started reading, because I really got to the bottom of my why. I saw one of the books and was Simon Sinek's book, you know, Start With Why. That's where I come from. That's really what drives me. And one of my mentors, and I'm pretty sure we're going to talk about this later, Brian, I have several mentors. I have several coaches. One of my mentors said, look, if you are not growing, and for me, growing is reading, is continuing to be on the journey of going from good to outrageously great. If you're not growing, you're dying. Mm. And if I believe in that, then I model that to everyone else that is around me, everyone else that I physically touch or verbally touch.
So true, so true. If you're not growing, then you're dying. It's so true. You know, we can talk a lot about getting out of your comfort zone, and that's when you're growing, to understand, you know, knowing when you are at those growth periods. And there's one thing, you know, Brigida, honestly, I don't know you hardly at all, but I feel like I've known you for a long time. After our one chat some time ago now, I thought, man, there's something about this young lady. You're so vibrant. You're so full of energy. You're so positive. You have a phenomenal sense of humor. I just love that. And so that's not always super simple for everyone to maintain that. And I was curious for you when it comes to maintaining that positive, productive, and successful mindset on a consistent basis. What do you do personally on a regular basis to sustain that?
Well, first of all, going back to my family, and I think that's where the problem lied. When I was a kid, I was just so high energy and so high strung that it was hard for my parents or my sisters to kind of keep me contained. But I'm not someone that you can keep contained. So how do I maintain that? Well, it's really simple. All you need to do is feed this girl, and you know, she'll I say I'm like the Energizer bunny that runs on solar. I need the sun, right? That's why we moved away from Germany. I couldn't take the, you know, 2 days of summer anymore. It was hard. And now we live in Atlanta, and when we moved from Midtown Munich, a large city in Germany, my husband and I and our little girl back then, to a small town in Tennessee.
Wow.
And we found out once we moved there that it was a dry county at the time. And my husband wanted to get some beer. I mean, hello, we're from, you know, he's from Bavaria. I'm from the Swabian area in Germany. And he wanted to get some beer, and he came back and he said, "What the hell? No beer, no nothing. We need to drive over to the next county to get it." So anyway, that was a rabbit hole that I just went into. yeah, I need the sun. That's what I need. I need the sun. I cannot be tied down. Someone said, you know, we want to hire you. You work for our organization. I'm like, no, I'm sorry. I cannot be hired. I used to work in corporate America and became very successful and created a lot of success strategies there, at least the foundation or somewhat the foundation of it. But I cannot be hired. I cannot be contained. I need to move. I need to travel. I need to, you know, broaden my horizons in all sorts of ways. And I love to work out. It is Eastern time now here. What is it? 8:54. Before we went on to the segment here today, I went to my personal coach and we had a training session. The entire family went. And a big shout out to Mayday. He's an incredible, incredible coach and trainer.
Yeah, phenomenal. I was going to bring that up and ask you, and now I know how important physical fitness is to you. And it's cool. That's so awesome that you brought you brought the entire family?
Yeah, we always go work out together.
Oh, that is amazing. So you're setting some incredible habits for your daughters and probably your husband as well. That's phenomenal. So you can continue on because, yeah, you look very vibrant. You're very slim and trim, and you look like you're in shape. You just have that look, and there's obvious reasons why. It's not easy for everyone to stay in impeccable shape. You know, it's not. For some, there's struggles. Pardon?
However,
yes,
it wasn't always that way. I was an obese adolescent. I was an overweight teenager. And when I was 17, 16, I decided no more. I got bullied, you know, kids made fun of me. I wore glasses, you know, I said no more of that. I'm done. And we lived in a small village where there are vineyards. So I started walking the vineyards up and down. I started with 5 minutes walking up and down, and I made a conscious decision that what other people are calling me and telling me does not have to be my reality. And that was the first time I actually went to the bookstore and bought me a book. And my first book was, oh my God, you're going to get a kick out of this, Emotional Quotient, Emotional Intelligence. And I remember crying over the book and while I was reading it and going, oh my God, there are other people like me out there.
Yes. Yeah, it's amazing that you brought that up. It just reminded me, my son had a very similar journey. And around that same age, maybe a little bit sooner, he began working out, and it has become a part of his life. And he gets upset if the plans that we had as a family would get in the way of him going to work out. You know, I was going to go work out at that time, Mom or Dad, and you know, and I love that. I'm never going to be upset with that. And he inspired me, literally. There was a breaking point in my life where I walked in the door, and I'm not going to tell the whole story, but I walked in the door after going through a long period of very unhealthy habits, working too long, too late, drinking instead of working out because it was quicker to relax that way. And it just gradually really escalated. And I came home one day, and there he was standing in our living room right as I opened the door in his tank top and shorts. I knew what he was doing, but I said, "Hey, Wyatt, what are you up to?" And he says, "I'm working out, Dad." And I said, "That's it," in my head. That was it. Snap. I'm back. No more. No more of this ridiculous, crazy, stupid stuff I'm doing. So I had to make some tough decisions and move on, but that's another story for another day. They were the best decisions I made of my life to that point. And so I can relate to that a lot, Brigida. So I appreciate you. That's one thing. Here's another pattern I see of successful entrepreneurs, including yourself, and that is the one of being willing to be transparent. And the more transparent, and we're not talking about getting into the real, real personal stuff here, but the more transparent one can be about their past, about maybe some mistakes or failures that they've made, the better. And on that note, you know, we all make mistakes, yes, along the way. I mean, unless, Brigida, you figured out how to be perfect. I mean, you're probably closer to it than I am. But the thing is, with entrepreneurialism, what we've learned, or what we do learn to become more successful, is to make more mistakes, make them faster, and move forward faster, learn from them, and move on. So, Brigida, on that note, do any of them any mistakes stand out? What have been some of your mistakes that stand out, and what have you learned from them? Because a mistake is nothing unless we learn something from it, right?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. My God, which one am I going to choose? Because there's so many. I think one of my, and it wasn't a big mistake, but it was an ongoing mistake that I made, right? When I came, and I'll be very open and vulnerable. When I came from Germany to the States to start a Montessori school, I hired teachers, and, you know, being in a very German way, I laid down the law. This is how it's going to happen in a small town in Tennessee. And people told me, "Well, you know, everything's a little laid back around here." Well, yeah, no, but not in my business, because we're going to do it by the book, and we're going to do it by my strategy and by my system. And I bulldozed over a lot of people. I really did. And I'm sorry today that I did that. And that it took time. It took time that I realized I burned bridges. It took time that I realized, well, it's not just my way or the highway. There are different people doing it in different ways, and their way doesn't have to be worse than my way. It's just different. Yeah. And it took some time. It took some, I had a lot of turnover in teachers in the beginning. There were some cultural differences that I didn't realize, and I was actually my husband's first client when he developed the culture mastery, and he said, "Look, this is not how it's going to work. You can't just come in and tell them that it's going to be done the German way. You got to adapt, not the other way around." And how often is that we go into a conversation that we want the listener to adapt to the sender, but that's not the way it goes. It's seek to understand and not seek to be understood. And it, you know, that's almost like a common thread that goes throughout my development personally and on the business side, that I have learned from. And yes, we all failures, and they're not really failures, but all failures are feedback. And I choose, do I want to do something with it, or do I want to become a victim around it? And I choose to look at it now that I've learned and really, you know, dig deeper. What's the learning in this? And that's what I coach my clients in too. If they, you know, get wound up about something, great. What's the learning in this? Rather than being stuck in victimization, perhaps, and not stay with a face down in a puddle. People have drowned with their face down in a puddle, yeah, although it's just a puddle.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the part where you're talking about listening, you know, because I'm just now finishing up the book of the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by McCovey, and he talks about that at length and uses mm-hmm. some great examples with his own son. And they're huge examples, and they work not only on the personal level but also on the business level. And when you were saying that, I went back there and thought, wow, that's phenomenal, because it's so true that most of us human beings, I'm talking about every one of us, when we're listening to somebody, we're really formulating what we want to say in response rather than actually listening to them. And when he said that in the book, I was just like, man, he's so right. Guilty, yes.
And right, so here.
Yeah, and it's a skill that needs to, that it takes work, because it doesn't come naturally and the ego doesn't like it. And he explains that very well in the book. Highly recommend that one as well to yeah. all watching and listening. And when it comes to being an entrepreneur, you know, so I made mistakes too. And we all, you know, entrepreneurs are, I think we're cut from a different cloth. You know, percentage wise, there's a tiny amount of us compared to those that are fine and happy with the corporate life. Maybe some who are not happy, who just haven't made the choice or decision to get out. The thing is, though, an entrepreneur, one of the definitions is someone who is a risk taker and take greater risks to achieve the rewards that they are seeking. And as a result of that, we tend to sacrifice more. There are things that are we give up or that we kind of stop paying attention to. I've been through many. And just so we're being very real on this show, and I love that, because this will help those that are looking either to become an entrepreneur or in the process of struggling due to the fact that they're having failures. The thing is, with all this comes sacrifices, sometimes great sacrifice. So what sacrifices have you had to make that come to mind to become a successful entrepreneur?
Whew. So one thing that I shared not long ago with my coach, with my business and personal coach, was because that same question came up and I had to forgive myself over it, which another great book, the other F word, forgiveness. I had to forgive myself for really putting a ton of time in and building my business, which was a school, which I built for my children. Mm. And I wasn't around for my children. They were 3 and 0 at the time. So I was pregnant during the business, building the business. Literally, you know, worked to the time that I drove to the hospital, you know, signed a piece of paper that they would release me early, and went back with the baby in tow back into the classroom and taught. And now looking back, I wish I would have taken it a little bit slower. I think that is my biggest regret, if you will, that I didn't take enough time to stop and smell the roses during that time, to enjoy the little moments, to sometimes say, no, enough. But because I am so driven, but because I had such a big vision and have such a big vision, there was never enough. And, you know, those years are now gone. They're 13 and 16. However, I do see all of the foundation that we as parents laid for them, and me and the school and the teachers laid for my children and for all the other children that go there. So, you know, just keeping it real. But that was one of the staying present is, yeah, and to this day remains something that I must practice.
Cognitively,
thank you.
Yes, I read your mind. That's right. So, similar story as that's what happened. I neglected my family, same thing. And I had those types of feelings of regrets. And then I look back and go, the good news, though, is that is now in the past, and the past no longer exists. And I have an incredible communication with my wife, who is the most important person in my life. And without her, my children would not exist. So everything, in my opinion, goes through her first. that we come into agreement, and then the kids then see that, and they're sponges. And kids, they're now 24 and 22 respectively. My daughter literally got married two weekends ago in San Diego. And so, but looking back and having gone through that and having that feeling of regret, everything still came out okay. The thing is, like you're saying, Brigida, is it's important for those of you watching that might be going down this path is really kind of take a step back, kind of like, wait, step away for a day and really do some reflection and say, how can I become, this is a great question a good friend of mine asked, told me that he asked himself every morning, how can I become a better husband to my wife? And he would sit there and think on that for 5 minutes in the morning, first thing. And then, how can I be a better father to my kids? And then he would take it beyond that. How can I be a better friend to my friends? And as a result of him going through that exercise, he ended up calling me and telling me that story because I was one of his friends. At least I like to think so. And he also said as a result of that exercise, he was so excited. I mean, he was almost yelling on the phone. He said because of that exercise, since he started doing that, his success in his multiple businesses that he has skyrocketed. Skyrocketed because he really honed in the real purpose of his life, and that was his family. And so that was a great lesson for me to learn. And so you're heading right down the same exact path, Brigida, with what you're talking about. And so again, we say this all the time on this show. It's about patterns of success. All you have to do is simply follow them, model them, copy them. It's all here. It's not copyrighted. None of this is copyrighted. You may copy anything you hear on this show to use for your betterment and for others to, you know, climb that ladder of success, whatever that means to you. And to each person, it means something different. Let's shift gears a little bit. And I would imagine with your center, you deal with more than just yourself as far as running the business, like maybe right. Some employees, maybe some assistants, virtual assistants. I honestly don't know, but you're nodding. So there's employees. And there's a part of building a business when you get to that level and you're no longer a solopreneur and you're bringing on employees, it just changes the whole landscape. And now you have a whole different skill set that you need to nurture, to build. It's completely different than what you're doing as a solopreneur. And so there are ways to bring on good employees and there are ways where you can end up bringing on ones that aren't so great, and those can cost you dearly. For you, how important is it in having good employees? How important has that been to your success that you're seeing now?
Oh my God. Well, first of all, good employees are A, hard to find. loyal employees, especially in the States. And there's, you know, don't get me wrong, I love being here in the States and I'm an American citizen. But it's a challenge. So I got to what you said earlier. What one thing that really triggered me is there's power in being specific. And the more specific that you can be and the more specific that you are to yourself in your goals and your vision and everything that you're tracking and to others, the more choice and flexibility that you have in your communication, the clearer it's going to be who you're inviting into your personal life and your business life and, you know, any other areas in your life. So, you know, when I started creating my staff, I first of all had, at first I just, you know, I just went out and I just found whoever until it was like trial and error. And in entrepreneurship, that's what we do. It's trial and error, right?
Yes.
When the only downfall is if we don't learn from the errors. That's where we get in muddy waters. But I learned, well, wait a minute. So if there's a different communication style than just mine, then what other different communication styles are there and how can I communicate to them? You know, you mentioned earlier in my bio that I'm a certified bank trainer and I'm actually their number one trainer in the corporation organization. And there are four different personality types. There's blueprint, action, nurture, and knowledge. I'm a high action, go figure. Most entrepreneurs are high action. They're the ready, fire, aim kind of people. You know, they don't think a whole lot. People ask me, what kind of plan B did you have when you came to the United States to build a school? I said, I didn't have a plan B. I knew it was going to work. There was not, failure is not an option. I learned from my mistakes as I move on, and I had to deal with the Department of Health. I had to deal with the Department of Education. I had to do a whole lot of, how do you say, red tape? Blue tape?
Mm-hmm.
Red tape?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I got a few bad apples in my staff, and then I got really clear. Okay, so I need to be specific what I'm asking for as I'm putting the ad out, as I'm talking to people. I was, I'm part of the Chamber of Commerce on their board, blah, blah, blah. And I learned to write my job description in the code of the person that I invite into that position. You know, you mentioned earlier in NLP, we also have four modalities, and the four modalities are visual, auditory, kinesthetic, and auditory digital. And for the very auditory learners, Audible is great.
Yes.
I'm a very visual learner. I love to see it. I even love to see, you know, little YouTubes like Simon Sinek. I love stuff like that,
yeah.
Which makes it come alive. Then there are the auditory digital learners that, you know, go inward and process it in a whole different way. And then there are the kinesthetic learners that take it in and create a feeling around it. So I started inviting, and when I say inviting, I really mean I what Bandler described in the little bookmark that you started the session out with, I started creating a feeling around it. I visualized it. I started talking about it, and it became real. That's what manifestation is. You know, it starts with a thought, and that's what neurolinguistic programming is. It starts with a thought that turns into a feeling that then turns into an action that turns into a result. And I have found I have the most loyal employees now, and they love working with us, and I love working with them. It just makes life a lot easier when everything is laid out and there are no assumptions.
Yes.
Because assumptions are misunderstandings. You know, they breed misunderstandings, and then everything just kind of falls apart.
Yeah, and I like to call that setting expectations, you know, from both sides. So these are my expectations, but what I do first is, what do you expect to get from this position? What are you looking for? What do you want to advance? What areas? Because sometimes what's on their resume may not be the thing that they really want to do, nor are they really talented at. They just did it once and got paid for it, but it really didn't fulfill them. And if they're not fulfilled or happy, then they won't be as good for you either. The other things were, you know, really making sure they understood the mission and purpose of my company, right? So I've brought on several apprentices of late, and I found by accident this show that's playing right now, I have it transcribed. I upload it to a transcription service, and it makes mistakes because it's automated. So I brought in apprentices to correct it, because it takes a long time, up to 2 hours or more if you're just starting, to correct the transcription of a one-hour show. And what I found as a feedback from one of my apprentices, though, was because this show is based on the very culture of which my business was founded, you know, mind, body, and business, and all the entrepreneurs that are part of it, the show that come on, is she said, I now know what you stand for. I now know what your language is. And she wasn't talking about bank code. She just understood how I, you know, because I had her doing social media posts for me as well. You know, so it was like an automated culture injection into her mind. And I didn't really have to take her by the hand and go. So now all of my apprentices start out by doing this very thing. And I just found that one golden nugget. And for others, you know, they're not doing live shows, and maybe other ways to do that. But it's very good to know that they're in alignment with your values, with what you're doing, what your purpose is. Everything you were just saying, you know, it, and yeah, trial and error, it sucks. Because it can take a long time to find those nuggets. And you're right, it's not always easy to find the best ones out there. I have four apprentices I've worked with. I currently have two right now. And of those, three were rock solid. The fourth was pretty good, but the three are rock solid. And so just loving going through this process of having people. And I say they don't work for me, they work with me. Mm. I have a different way of looking at it and approaching it. I like positive reinforcement versus negative. Is there time for discipline? Of course, there must be at some point. But it's not how I drive them. It's not. I don't motivate them by fear.
Right.
Fear of loss. Fear of discipline. Fear of losing their job. It's like, no. If you do a good job and you gave it all, you're all, and you made a mistake, I'm still going to lift you up. Good job. It's okay. You made a mistake. Big deal. Learn from it. Move on.
That's
so
right.
Yeah, you. Wow, I talked way too long because you gave me so much there. That was all because of you, Brigida. I have to tell you, that was a good job.
You know, I like to say expectations are premeditated resentments.
Hmm.
So, you know, really spelling them out, and again, clarity and and being specific is only your friend.
Yes. Yeah, we think they know what our mind is saying when we're not verbally or writing it. Yeah, it's interesting. I've gone through that already with several apprentices, and you know they basically made a comment. Oh, I didn't know I was supposed to go on Zoom with a camera. If I would have known that, I would have had that set up ahead of time. And I said, you know what? That's completely on me. I did not communicate that to you. It's absolutely fine. So she was in the dark, and I was on video, and it was fine. It was fine. I just wanted to share the screen anyway. So I talk a lot about on this show patterns and, you know, modeling. But there are patterns. And another word for that is a recipe for success. It's kind of like when you're baking a cake. I've never baked a cake in my life. But if I were given a recipe book that told me what ingredients to go by and then how to mix them, when to mix them, how long to put them into the oven, how long to put them in the fridge, all that stuff, I'm pretty certain I could bake a pretty darn good cake just because I have a recipe to follow. And so along that line, do you, Brigida, believe there is some sort of pattern or formula to becoming a successful person when it comes to becoming a successful entrepreneur specifically?
Absolutely. And that's what NLP is all about. NLP is the modeling the success patterns. That's what it is. There are 14 laws within neurolinguistic programming. And yes, you learn them, but then guess what? You get to adapt them to your own personal life. And that might take a little bit time, and it also takes practice like everything else. There's a great German saying, and it goes like this: no master has fallen from heaven. So one day you're not just, you know, you wake up and you go, oh, okay, now I have the success pattern kind of uploaded into my DNA. Well, that's not how it works, but you can first become aware of what are some of the patterns that you're running on, that I'm running on, that are supporting you and not supporting you, and choose to let go of some of the non-supportive patterns. And sometimes it's not the entire pattern that needs to go. Sometimes it's just a little tweak within a pattern that will make it a supportive pattern, but we first have to become aware of it. And that's really where, you know, where I start with our clients, where we start with within our work in the NLP practitioner courses and all of that, is to start becoming aware of patterns. And for some people, that's really hard. For me, I got many, 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 many moons ago when I took my first NLP training. I got so mad with my NLP instructor because I couldn't see the pattern, and he would not tell me. And that's what a great mentor and coach does. He guides you so you can find it, so you can go on the journey yourself, but he won't tell you, because what is that going to do? That's not going to do anything. But, you know, going on that journey, I went on that journey, and when I saw it, I was like, oh my God, I was so in the pattern. I was so associated in the pattern. I was the pattern, and it was not supporting me whatsoever. And I had this huge, huge, huge aha.
Nice.
So yeah, I'm all about patterns.
It's funny because when I went through my first NLP training, a similar thing happened, and we are very alike. I can tell. I'm also action. I did the bank code exercise with the cards, and that's a phenomenal system in its own right. And we were going through all the processes. This was the first one, and I'm gung-ho. I'm action. I'm like, let's get this done. Let's go. I'm going to go all out. And my son's with me. I took him through the course as well. And we're doing the processes. You know, you're practitioner, and you're in the change chair, and you're switching back and forth. And every time I was the practitioner, the result was there. The person got the result and they're all happy and yeehaw. And then they switched around and they applied the same technique to me. And I'm like, am I supposed to notice something? I don't feel anything. What is going on? And then it happened like 3 or 4 times, first half of the first day, and I'm not getting anything. And I'm getting steamed inside going, come on, I spent a lot of money for this and I want to make this work. And same thing, my practitioner came over, how's it going, Brian? I said, I got to tell you, man, I'm struggling. And he's like, tell me about that. Like, yes. And so, and it, same thing, he took me through me telling him why it wasn't working. And then and then I said, maybe I'm trying too hard. He goes, you think? Yeah, maybe. And then he told me, the best thing he did was told me his story. He had a very similar one that was even more amplified than mine. And that broke it. I was like, okay, I'm going to relax. Very next process, bang, it happened. I literally, Brigida, I got, it was setting the anchor, the champion anchor. And I literally got up in the room and I ran around the room. Everyone else is in their chairs doing their exercise. I'm like, yeah, I'm like yelling. Cause it was like this big release. Yes, it worked. Yes. It's amazing.
It's
beautiful analysis. When
we can let go of control.
Yes, that was it. That was it. I was trying to will it. It's going to work. And you just had to lay back, relax, and let it happen, which, okay, that took some doing for this guy. But, hey, it's all good now. Entrepreneurship, we've talked a lot about it. There's many aspects to it. And we already said, you know, it's not for everybody. And God bless entrepreneurs and God bless employees and corporate workers, because without either, you know, the other would not exist, really. You know, entrepreneurs are taking the risk to start those businesses and companies that then provide the jobs for those to work corporate. And if we didn't have people to work at those jobs, then entrepreneurs would burn out because we can't scale. And so for you, what has been so far your favorite aspect of being an entrepreneur?
Freedom. Oh, my God. But there's so many. The ability to really create something that people need, and seeing that people are, you know, receptive to that. I need your services. I need you to be there. But I think, you know, the freedom, not just for me, but the freedom for my children. I'll tell you a quick story. And I just have to. Today, we're going through an NLP practitioner course right now. It's a 5-day intensive. But today the phone rang and my daughter called from school, and she's building her own business called Santosha Smoothies. And she gets up at, I don't know, 5:15 in the morning to make the smoothies to then deliver them to the gym. She's got a permit. So, you know, mom or dad have to drive with her as she's delivering it. And her day starts very early before school. And then, you know, she goes to school, and around 11 o'clock the phone rings and she goes, Mom, are you going to be anywhere near the school anytime soon? And I said, well, I might have to go to Office Depot and get some ink because I ran out of ink. And she says, could you just bring me a cappuccino from home? My husband has an incredible espresso machine. And yes, I call it my husband's espresso machine because he uses it. And he makes cappuccinos for all of us. So I said, I'll bring you one. And, you know, I made her cappuccino in this big-ass Starbucks container and drive it out to the school. And, you know, I bring it to her and she hugs me. And on my way back home, she texts me and she says, who has the best parents ever? Oh, yeah, I do. And, and my heart was just so full for many reasons. But one reason was, hey, if I would be working somewhere, I would not have the liberty to do that. Mm. I cannot just go and, you know, meet with my kids when I choose to. And sometimes the opportunity is just not there because I am tied up somewhere in a meeting or whatever. But I have learned that there are more important things than just business, my business or my clients. And that's actually my husband and my children and my mother, who also lives here in the States. And, you know, those are the things that really, again, that's freedom. That's truly living the American dream as a German girl.
And I loved how you almost jumped out of the camera, out of the screen, when you said freedom. It was instant. And, you know, I use the term liberation, same thing. It liberates you. You know, having been in the corporate world for many years myself, it's like, wow. It's when you get to choose your own hours, when you get to choose, okay, I want to work today on Sunday or Saturday, or any, it doesn't matter. Or I will stay up till 2 a.m. just because I don't have to get up at 5 a.m. to go commute somewhere. It's like, no, that's pretty darn cool, because the choice is now yours and not someone else's. And the dream you're fulfilling is more toward your results and your family and whatever your why is. It could be far outside of that. It could be for charitable organizations, could be for other family members that are not near geographically, could be for anything. But the cool thing is you get the choice. That's what it gives. That's why so many work so hard to achieve. It's really never about the money, is it? I mean, money is important. It helps a lot. But the number one goal is liberation and freedom to be able to choose and do as you want, when you want. And it's
and
just...
When you're being of service and value, the money will flow.
Right, right. It's amazing. It's phenomenal. And every person I have had on this show to date has that exact mentality. You know, it's always service first. And we get it. The money's going to come. This isn't our first rodeo. We get how this works. And, you know, I'm sure for many of us in the beginning, that money was more prominent in the top of our mind because there was a scarcity mindset. We're trying to make it first, right? And so, of course, it's going to be higher on that priority list. But as we go forward, we realize, you know, it's about service. And the more service we make, even more and more and more. It's like, okay, I get it. This is nice. I like this. Because I know you're the same way, Brigida. I just love helping people. It's just drives me. I love it, love it, love it. And NLP, what is your, you call it an agency?
NLP Institute.
Institute. That's, I can't see, I mean, what a gift that is to give others, to have them learn NLP because of what it does. It's the most amazing science on the planet. You can help people with PTSD with NLP. I just saw a study about it where people with PTSD, that's post-traumatic stress disorder, for military veterans, but also others like firefighters, policemen who have seen horrific things and they can't get it out of their memory. And the study was basically they would give them a counselor and use some kind of traditional methods to help them. And the statistics were pretty amazing. Those that went that route, the success rate was only around 30%, and it took quite a while to get there. When they started using NLP, within three sessions, their success rate was 97%. So this is a science that is about success, and it's about getting that success quickly. Because one process, as an example, that I used from Stage many, many times that had a profound effect on me the very first time, was the very first process I ever experienced in my life, was when I was an attendee sitting in the chair, my mentor was on stage, was doing it. It took a grand total of 7 minutes, and we were done. And I'm like, I feel different. I'm liberated. Something's different. I feel great. I don't know what it is, but I'm really going to, you know, take advantage of this now and then learn more and do more, and I couldn't wait to get more. Right. It was like a legalized drug with no bad side effects.
Right.
Say again?
And it never ends. And I love that. Mm. You know, we get to work through stuff as it comes up.
Yes.
It never gets old.
You get to. I love how you said that. That is the sign of a seasoned practitioner right there. Many people would say you have to. Not Brigida. Mm-mm. You get to. Because it is an honor, it's a blessing to be able to have that knowledge and to be able to impart that on others to then spread this because it's amazing. You know, I cannot believe it. We are already at our 1 hour mark. And the good part about this is I'm not beholden to a radio station or someone saying, get off, you must stop the show now. That was my horrible rendition of a German accent just for you.
I love it.
I won't quit my day job, I promise. But what I wanted to do, there's one more question I wanted to ask you, and it's because I ask every previous guest the same exact question. And it's a doozy, and I don't mean that to scare you or put you back, and I know this doesn't scare you at all, but it's a deep one. And so if it takes some time to come up with the answer, so be it. It's okay. Dead our time. Because it's just, it's a very deep, heavy-hitting question. And so I like to finish the show with that. And then, of course, we'll let the folks know how to get in contact with you. And by the way, that just reminded me, for those of you that are watching still with us live, in order to enroll and get a chance at that five-night vacation at the five-star resort in Mexico, I know you probably thought I forgot about that, huh? Didn't you? Well, here it is. I'll put it up on the screen real quick. This is how you can enroll to win. So there's two ways. You can go to the website, reachyourpeakllc.com/vacation. That's reachyourpeakllc.com/vacation. Or text the word PEAK, that's P-E-A-K, to the phone number 661-535-1624. One final time, that's PEAK to 661-535-1624. Sponsored by our wonderful friends at powertexting.com. Definitely write that down and pay them a visit after this show is over. I use that very service, and we put out notifications for this show using that service, amongst other things. Amazing, amazing. So go ahead and enter to win, and we'll announce that winner later. And now back to the star of this show, and that's her, not me. It's Brigida. Au filet. Is that better?
Yes.
I'm practicing. And it's good because, you know, I could go on stage and I don't have to do anything but try to speak German and everybody would be on the floor laughing. I don't need any skill set. So here it is, the big question. Are you ready? She's even taking off her glasses, ladies and gentlemen. Now she's getting serious. It's like, okay, Superman glasses are off. Here we go. Okay, Superwoman, sorry. And
bring it.
and just to let you off the hook, this will help kind of frame it a lot better, in all seriousness, is that there is no such thing as a wrong answer to this question. In fact, the only correct answer is your answer. And just so you know as well, there isn't to date, I expect it to happen, but to date, not a single entrepreneur that's come on the show before you has answered it the same as anyone else who's been on the show yet. I know it's going to come at some point, but it still hasn't. So it's very unique. That's why I love this question. So here it is, Brigida.
Bring it on.
How do you define success?
How do I define success? Yeah, that is a deep one. Oh, man, there's so many elements in that. You know, success for me is when you look in the mirror and you're like, I am supposed to do what I'm doing. I'm not just finding something to keep me busy, to make money with, to pay the bills with, to, you know, get some sort of credentials maybe of someone saying she's done this, that, or the other. Success is something meaningful, purpose-driven, intentional. Success is a legacy.
Ooh. Love it.
Yeah, I could, you know, there's so many elements in that, but I truly believe that there's a piece of what also comes up for me, there's a piece of being in alignment, trying to, you know, dig a little bit deeper. What does that mean?
Actually, what I've found in asking that question and the responses that come as a result, it's typically the very first thing that you say is the answer. That's our subconscious, as you are very astute at knowing that provided that for you. And it was a big one. Looking in the mirror and realizing I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Not just going and earning money to help my family, but this is really my calling, my purpose. And then you went on to further basically chunk it down and, you know, or up, meaningful, purpose-driven, intention, legacy. That was a powerful one. And that legacy went right with the very first statement. So we started to see it circle back. And again, congratulations, because unique answer number 27, whatever it is now. That another powerful, powerful answer. And really like that. It's really powerful, I gotta say. You know, that I'm doing what I am supposed to be doing. How many people can say that?
Right.
I mean, give me a break. Even people that are enjoying what they're doing, is it really what they truly, their purpose was on this planet? My guess would be lower than 50% are doing, probably under 30 are actually able to do something to be blessed with being in alignment with their purpose. So I love that answer. And again, it's the correct answer because it's yours.
Right.
And
I'll stick to it.
And I can certainly, and it's always relatable too. That's the beautiful thing. So I get to collect, you know, that's another goal, is to maybe, I don't know if I'll have an entire book, but a section of a book with all of these answers from different entrepreneurs to see the beautiful variety. And here's the beautiful thing, Brigitte, not a single one ever says it's about making money. It's never about, and when I reach my first 10 mil, you know, it's never that. And for those that are not as well versed in this world of entrepreneurship, you know, that's typically their focus in the beginning, is the money part. Well, as long as I can make my first mil, I know I'll be fine. I'll be out of my job, whatever their situation is. But the mature entrepreneurs say, you know, it's actually about living life the way I want it to be lived. You know, I have another good friend, a mentor of mine, who says this almost every day. It's like, I always look, is this making me happy? Am I doing something that I want to do? He's turned down big deals because it didn't align with his value system. He said, I can make a lot of money with this, but you know what? In his heart of hearts, he knew they were doing it for the reasons that were not right to him. And so it wasn't alignment. He moved on. And I applauded him for that. You know, he spent 3 days, traveled for it, and 3-day meetings where he got pitched to and ultimately said no. And I was like, good for you. And
yeah,
so that's what it's about. It's about, it's much, much, much deeper than money and income. And so I appreciate you for being yet another that didn't even go there. And you even said, not just to make money. I mean, literally, and I will quote, not just to make money, as part of your original answer. So I know that you also have a gift for our viewers. And so if you don't mind, what I like to do is have you describe what that is and how they can then reach out to you to obtain that gift.
Yeah, sure. So my gift to all of the listeners who are live on right now and the ones that are listening to the recording at a much later time, maybe, please reach out to me, and I'll give you my email address here in a little bit. But my gift to you is a 20-minute consultation, coaching call. You know, maybe just want to go through one or two intentions that you might have, and we can dig a little bit deeper in the 20 minutes. I'd love to give you my time, and my time is very valuable. To simply write an email to Brigitte, that's B-R-I-G-I-T-T-A, Brigitte at Hoefele, just like you sounded out, H-O-E-F as in Frank, E-R-L-E.com. So Brigitte at Hoefele.com. You also find my name on Facebook as it's being shared here on Brian's posts. And it's just my first name at my last name.com. And in the subject line, just put in Brian Kelly. And then I will know, and just, you know, write me a few little sentences, what your intentions are, and your telephone number and your email address, of course, and I will get back to you and would love to see what we can do together.
Phenomenal. Thank you so much. And I've got it on the screen for those of you to make it a little easier. As you can see, her first and last name right under her chin, her chinny chin chin, as I say. So put an at symbol between those two and then a dot com at the end, and you've got the right answer to email her. Thank you. That's a phenomenal gift that you are offering to our viewers, our listeners. This is also going on. This is on 9 platforms simultaneously live streaming, as well as after it's over, it's being shared all over the place, different social media platforms, and on about 8 podcast platforms. So if you're listening to this after the live show, by all means, reach out to Brigitte. I know how she loves to serve. And, you know, be respectful. Go in there with a good intention, like she said, and make that 20 minutes worth not only your time, but her time. That's very important to respect those, because those that we respect when we're on the other end and doing these coaching calls, we're also examining you to see if you would be a fit for us going forward. So it's a two-way street. If that is something you want to do and you're in alignment with that for whatever that individual is, then that can increase your probability of making that happen. And with Brigida, you want to make it happen. You want it to make it. You want the probability to be very, 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 very high because of what she gets to do with her NLP Academy. Did I say it right that time?
Institution.
Academy,
center.
That
you
was
name it.
It. Center.
That's what it is.
Her transformational NLP business is unbelievable, and we're going to be doing some work together after the show is over to seeing how we can make this work from Atlanta to my area, which is near LA, and can't wait to have that discussion. But Brigida, I just want to say thank you so very much for coming on. And is that the best way for people to contact you in general? Is that what you prefer, the email?
Yep.
Okay, perfect.
Brigida@herfele.com is great. That's the email that comes directly to me. If you Google NLP Atlanta, we're the first hit that comes up. You can find me there as well. You know, if you just look for Brigida, I'm pretty much one of the first one that comes up on Facebook. There are not that many Brigidas out there. So.
And that last name too. There's not too many of those.
No, nope. Say it again. Come on.
Uferle.
Uferle.
That's easy for you to say.
Of course.
As all, it's been such a fun time with you, Brigida. I hope this is one of many, many more in different avenues. I'm sure we're going to cross paths many times in the future. And I just want to say thank you again for coming on the show, for parting with your words of wisdom, and for all of you who are watching and listening. We appreciate you as well, because we know your time is valuable as well. With that, that is it. We are going to sign off, and we will see you next week on another Mind Body Business Show. Until then, be blessed and take care. We'll see you later.
Thank you for watching and listening. This has been the Mind Body Business Show with Brian Kelly.